Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello. Welcome. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, the host of this program, and I'm asking you to hang in there with me for the next hour and venture out into the depths of our lives, inviting Jesus into the boat with us so that we can have the life that he has won for us in his life. So may the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you guys and me as we spend our time together, and may Mary please be a mother to us now and forever. Amen. I'm fairly new at this, and it's the weirdest thing because I come in here, I'm completely calm, and as soon as I open my mouth, I stumble around on my words for a little while, and then I get into the, you know, the routine of it, the rhythm of it, and then I'm okay. But for some reason, I just can't get started right. So bear with me and be patient with me. I'm getting there. You know, it's funny. I'm happy to be back in the studio. Last Monday, I broadcast from the hotel that I was staying in, and that felt very weird because I've never done that before. It was my first remote broadcast, and now here I am. I'm looking at you, which you are a little black box with a red light on it and a camera, and I feel very comfortable looking at you that way, and felt very odd not seeing you that way last week. It's funny what we get used to. But I just returned yesterday from a short trip to Virginia to visit my great-grandmother's 120-plus years old home. It's in the beautiful mountains of Virginia, and there's lovely people there. And it's just an amazing place to visit. And I thought her home was long gone. My father was an only child, and when his parents were gone and he was gone and grandparents were gone and everything, I thought that everyone was gone in my immediate family on his side. And then a lot of things happened over the last few years that were shocking and miraculous and amazing that we ended up, my husband and I ended up there and found out that my great-grandmother's house is still standing, and it's in need of repair, but it's in pretty doggone good shape for being over 120 years old. And so it was quite a joy to find that it was still there and to be able to walk around like my family did when I was younger, and just all the joyful memories that went with that. It was just a real, real blessing. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for giving me that, because I don't have a lot of material things for memorials. Our family home burned when I was 15, and everything that we had was destroyed, including family photos and portraits, and, you know, along with our clothing and everything else and furniture. And that house was never rebuilt. It's a long story. So I can't even look at my childhood home anymore. So to see my great-grandma's house just is indescribably wonderful. So I'm back, and I'll share that whole story with you in another time. But I'm back here in the studio, and I don't know. This must be something wrong with me. I really love being here. because the world is full of so much strife right now and sadness and stuff. And I just want people to know the joy of the Lord, and that even in the midst of terrible times and fears for what's coming in the future, and all this unsettled chaos that seems to be running amok in the world, it's my job in my heart to share with you from all of the challenges and heartbreaks and fears and challenges that I've had in my life, that to encourage you from my own experience to hang in there and to trust the Lord, because He is trustworthy. Even the most faithful person is nowhere near as trustworthy as Jesus Christ. And I just want you to, like, give Him a chance if you haven't ever given Him a chance. Do a little research, like Emma Glone was just saying, you know, if you're a believer, don't be lukewarm anymore. If you have been, don't be lukewarm. You know, like she said, Google lukewarmness in the Bible and read it, and check out what it means to be a lukewarm Christian and someone who's not really completely committed anymore. And you know, check it out. Times are tough. We need to be the best Christians we can be, because we are God's ambassadors. We are His representatives who, if people aren't seeing us care enough or be willing to live the Christian life, truly the Christian life, then what's that say? What does that say about us? You know, you have people of other religions who, you know, like the Muslims, they pray, I think it's 5 times a day, maybe more, and they do it. They stop what they're doing and pray. All of those times per day, nothing interferes with that. And we Christians do. Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? We need to do that. Not necessarily 5 times a day, not copying anybody, but have a real intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that makes a difference in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. So I want to start a little bit, a couple of things today. Obviously, and there's a lot of campaigning and voting stuff going on out there. You know, we're really focusing on the upcoming elections. There, before you know it, we'll be voting. Before you know it. And I pray that you will vote. But I pray that you'll be an informed voter. I have a lot of friends and family members who they can't get past the leaders of these political parties to actually be interested in what does that party stand for. What do these parties stand for? Read their information. Don't listen to the press that says, oh, well, the Republicans stand for this. But one thing that's a big lie is that they only stand for big business. Total lie. Total lie. Or they'll say the Democrats stand for this, and that's a total lie. So don't listen to that. Go online, find out from them what their motives are, what they are looking to do. Do not listen to what the propaganda machines of both parties put out there. Find out. I tell my friends, I don't listen to what they say. I look at what they do. Because anybody can say anything, but what are they actually doing? If you're a Christian, do you care whether or not you have religious freedom? Do you care about protecting the innocent? Do you care about observing law? There's so many things, so many cultural things out there. We have to vote according to our principles, not according to the person who it may rub us the wrong way or may not be as experienced as we think they should be. Find out what their platform is. The Democratic and Republican platform. Vote on the platform. And not just one issue. I'm very pro-life. To me, I can't trust anybody that isn't pro-life to run my country, but at the same time, there's all these other things that other people might look at and say, well, you know, I agree with five of these things, but I absolutely can't stand 10 of these things. And then you have to make a decision, weights and balances. But please find out what the platforms are. Don't settle for what other people are saying. Our elections are too important these days. There's too many things happening that really need to have some thought put into them. So please do that. All right. Enough about that. Okay. I would like to spend a little time today talking about hope. In 2020, you know, we had serious, horrible things happening in the world from the pandemic. And for 3 months, we were basically shut down around the world. That never happened before that I knew of. And it was a frightening, unsettling time. A lot of beautiful things happened during it, though. You know, I loved praying the rosary worldwide with Pope Francis that night. There was something hauntingly beautiful about that and magnificently wonderful knowing that people around the world, we were all praying together the rosary. I loved that. And then, you know, like in Italy, with the people in the cities, visiting with each other out on their balconies, talking across, you know, the street from their balconies. I even read about one couple that fell in love talking across the streets on their balcony. And then they were singing together as a city or a street, singing songs together to celebrate life. We need to do more of that, celebrating life in the midst of these worrisome times, you know. So right after the shutdown, a couple of months later, in the Bible study that I lead, we were meeting in my driveway with chairs all spread out all over my driveway. When we were meeting and studying the Word of God and praying together during the whole COVID thing, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Unsettling, but absolutely beautiful. And after about 6 months, I think it was, I realized that we needed some hope. And so we started studying Pope Benedict the 16th encyclical letter, Spes Salvi, on Christian hope, the solid kind of hope. And so we started studying that. We read it. We studied it. We ate it all up because we needed hope so much. And so, God willing, if it all works out, I would like to spend some time in the next few weeks looking at that encyclical and calling to mind how different Christian hope is from worldly hope and how powerful it is, and maybe encourage you some with that. But today, I wanted to focus on some scriptures and on a book that has been really instrumental to me. But there's one Bible verse that I really, really love, and it keeps me going when things are a little tough. And it's St. Paul, and I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to semi-quote it right now. And it's, "Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more." That's from Romans 5:20. "Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more." And in other words, where sin increases, grace flourishes in abundance. Okay. So, you know, we have a God that loves us so much, so much, that he is ready and willing to forgive us. To, you know, he calls himself like a mother hen who gathers the chicks, you know, in under her wings. He's the shepherd that picks up the baby sheep and holds it to his heart. We have, if you have not studied the love of God in the Old Testament, I'm telling you, please, please find something and study it, because that's where you get to understand how much the Lord, how faithful the Lord is. He's always there. He's always calling us back when we go off the wrong way. You see time and time again in the Old Testament that the Lord would bless, and he had covenants with his people, that promises, exchanges of persons are what covenants are. They aren't contracts. They are exchanges of persons. He would exchange himself with the people in a almost like marriage. And he would bless them and keep them and lead them and protect them. And all he asked was that they would follow him, stay in relationship with him. He designed us. He created us. He knows what is best for us. And he has laid that out time and time and time again in history about, if my people will do these things, first of all, you'll stay in communion with him, because it's the best way to live in the first place. Second of all, we will have better relationships with each other, and our lives will thrive in a beautiful way. He says it time and time again. And, you know, there's people that think the Old Testament God is this angry, mean God. Well, no. Whenever there was any anger there, it was because he had given 120% of himself and blessed the people. And what did they do? They started giving themselves credit for all the blessings that God had given them and turned their back on him and started to sin grievously, turned away from him in the temple or, you know, in the tent, depending on where they were at the time. And it ripped his heart apart. And sometimes, you know, he just got angry. "I've given you everything," over and over and over again. You know, you're a mother or father. You take care of your children. You ask them to do certain things. When they do all this, everything kind of goes smoothly. You give them a lot of freedom, but there's a limit to that freedom for their own good. And then all of a sudden they start doing what they want to do and don't care what you say anymore. And they go off on their own and create chaos in their lives, and because they don't want to do what anyone tells them to do anymore. and your heart breaks. And sometimes you get angry because you know it would just be simple if they just did what they knew to be true, but are in rebellion against it. Well, that's God the Father. You get angry sometimes. But most of the time what happens is you turn your back on him, and his hands are tied then. There's only so much he can do for us when we've turned our back on him. He still loves us. He's ready, waiting, wants us. You know, Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want to come back to you. I need you back. Boom, that's it. Here he comes. You know, so I just want to encourage you with that. Anyway. I pulled up this article because, you know, hope is essential in life. It's essential. If you don't have hope for tomorrow or even for today, you can get really depressed and you can give up on life. And that's not necessary. And it's very sad because God doesn't want you to give up on hope. Doesn't want to give up on life. He wants you to know that he loves you, he cares for you, he's here for you. And the scriptures talk about it all the time. So in this article, it is written by, I'm sorry, it didn't print out. But it's off the CatholicExchange.com website. And it says, hope is faith. I wanted to read a really good description of hope from the New Testament. Where is it? This is from Romans 8. For in this hope we were saved. In this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So anyway, hope is faith directed to the future. It might be seconds, could be years. It could be eternally. Faith is directed to the future. Okay? It's acting on and trusting in the promises that God has made. It's hope that moves us to say yes to God, and it's hope that gives meaning to our trials. Hope tells us that we are destined to live with Jesus Christ, and it gives us the ability to continue on the road of discipleship in freedom and trust. Folks, we are destined to live with Christ, not only in heaven. We are destined to live every day with him. That's what he wants. He wants the best for us, and the best comes when we live with him every day, not just whenever we feel like it. Okay? So anyway, as Catholics, we all experience difficulties at different points in our lives. But no circumstance, no pain, no suffering can ever cancel the hope we have in Christ and in God's promises in Scripture. Both the Old and New Testaments are filled with hundreds of passages on hope. From these passages, we see how important it is to live out our Christian lives as people of hope. I keep thinking, when I read that, I think about Pope St. John Paul II. and how he would say, "We are an Easter people. We are filled with hope because we are Easter people." Okay. Mother Teresa used to say, "Never get so depressed or so down that you forget Jesus Christ resurrected. What he did for us, what we have waiting for us in him." Okay. And so, we see how important it is to live out our Christian lives as people of hope. The following is a small sample of these Bible passages. Okay, so I encourage you to go online to CatholicExchange.com and search for what do the scriptures say about hope, and pull it up for yourself, because obviously there's more quotes, but there's eight pages of biblical quotes about hope, and that's not even all of them. So if you need some hope, Google it. Have your own copy. I'm going to read these to you. God's word is powerful. It speaks to our hearts. It calms our minds. It's very, very, very important to know the word of God. When you hear it, you know that it's not just human words. You know. Anyway, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Here's another from Job, poor Uncle Job. "You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety." Now, this is Job. You know, the Lord talking to Job, who was suffering terribly initially, but then was richly blessed. "You will look about you and take your rest in safety." In the Psalms, beautiful Psalms, "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Okay, I have to take a break. It's short, so don't go anywhere. Please come back and join with me, and we'll do the next half hour together. God bless.
Hello, Father Doisy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize, and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, host of this program. We've already gone through a half hour. Boy, time flies when you're having fun, and we've got another half hour to go. I do want to make a comment about the break, the commercial in the break, asking you to support the work here. You may not know it, but it's my understanding anyway, and I believe that it's true, that in his Sign Radio Network, this small apostolate is the longest-running Catholic radio apostolate in the United States. Close to 50 years. And that tells you something. That tells you something. We're small, but we're mighty. And the Lord is using us after all these years. He's not finished with us yet. But we can't do it without you. You are an essential part and just as important as anyone else involved in this ministry. So please continue to pray for us and for other members of the audience who are listening, and send your widow's mite, as Anne said, to help support us. Every penny counts. Don't think you have to spend thousands of dollars. Whatever you can afford to help this apostolate. You know, I've told you before, Mother Teresa said, you don't do what I do, and I don't do what you do, but together, if we do both ways, we do something beautiful for God. Together, we do something beautiful for God. So be a part of that, doing something beautiful for God. Okay. We were in the midst of talking about hope and how desperately needed hope is in the world today, especially in this nation and during this turbulent time leading up to the elections. And I'm reading from the Old Testament scriptures encouraging us to have hope, because our hope is not in man. Our hope is in the Lord. Big difference. When we have hope in man, mankind, humankind, ladykind, we will be disappointed. Even the best of people that we love will disappoint us at times. But we have hope in the Lord. In his promises, he always keeps his promises. And he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we can count on him. Right. So I want to continue in the Old Testament. I read one from Psalms 31. I'll start with that one again. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It sounds very similar to this. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Okay. Then here's another from the Psalms. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Lord, no matter what I'm going through, Lord, no matter what the future holds, Lord, no matter what, I trust in your unfailing love to get me through this. Okay. Psalm 33, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And this is one of my absolute most favorite ones. It was one that was pointed out to me when I was 24 years old, living in Southern California. And my dearest, dearest friend, Holly Drake, pointed it out to me, and it's been in my heart and in my mind ever since. And I hope it says something to you. It is from Isaiah 40. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I'm going to say it again because it's so powerful. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 49 says, those who hope in me, the Lord, will not be disappointed. That is a promise. Yes, people die. Yes, people get sick. Yes, there's financial catastrophes. Yes, 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 yes. There's all kinds of horrors in this world. But if we have hope in him to bring good out of evil, joy out of sadness, we will not be disappointed. I can't tell you how many horrible things have happened to me in my life. And somehow, some way, I clung to the Lord and I was not disappointed. I just want to encourage you to do the same. And here's another from Lamentations. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Are we seeking him? Oh, he delights in that. It thrills him. Thrills him that you want to know him. Thrills him that he wants you want to hope in him. You want to give him a chance to be your heavenly Father. Okay, New Testament scriptures on hope. This is from Romans. St. Paul says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. In the midst of a hopeless situation, hopelessness in the world, Abraham in hope in God, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. One person, and the whole world was blessed by his hope. Okay? And then Romans 8. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. I read it earlier. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, we hang in there because we know who we believe in and he will come. Romans 15, may the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. When you have faith and hope in the future, we can be bold. We can be bold. We can declare the promises of God. we can enjoin others to believe in those promises and to look for the good that the Lord has promised. We can be bold. 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Just look around you at all the people, especially since COVID, who have fallen on very difficult times. They don't have the money they used to have. They can't eat as well as they used to, can't travel. It's challenging for a lot of people right now. And it says, you know, don't be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Here today, gone tomorrow. That happened in my family. Long story. But don't have faith in things. Have faith in God. Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And this is the last one, 1 Peter. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a pretty heavy-duty one. God's great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay? So, you know, with this election season coming up and with, you know, the need to have hope and trust in the Lord, I wanted to show you this. Those who are on Facebook can see this packet of papers. And I Googled scriptures that warn against trusting in man or in a person, okay, instead of God, the king, president, you know, anyone in power, even our own family members sometimes can let us down, like I said earlier. There are 11 pages of scriptures, and there's even more, that are printed out about trusting no man. I'll read just a few of them to you. I'm not going to read all of them. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. Be careful who you trust. Be careful who you put your faith in. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. We're cutting off our noses to spite our face if we turn away from the Lord. He is the answer to everything. He loves you more than any person possibly could. He wants to take care of your loved ones more than even you do. Sometimes that doesn't happen for reasons that we don't fully understand, but He is there. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And there's just so many, 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 many of them. Many. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There's just numerous promises that the Lord has made to us. He gave his life for us so that we could be in right relationship with God again, God the Father again. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us and lead us, guide us, give us understanding, to minister to our hearts and minds. He's done everything for us, and I'm very grateful. I know you are too. So, please go back to church. Even if you're not Catholic, please go back to whatever Christian church you belong to. Get back in community. Raise your voices in praise and thanksgiving and petition to the Lord together. It's not the same living this life without being in community the way Jesus created us to be. He created the church. We didn't. Because he knew that there's strength in numbers. There's grace, abundant grace in numbers. And it protects us. It's like he talks about the lost sheep. When we're in the fold of the church, we're in the fold like sheep in a pen in the fold of the church. We're safe there. We protect each other. We live together. We do things together. We listen to the shepherd. We follow him. But if you get out of the fold like a sheep that gets out and goes wandering off on his own to do his own thing, it's at great risk. Great risk. You're no longer ministered to, no longer protected. You're easy prey for the evil one. You may not realize it. I did that. I was away from church for 6 years and thought I was perfectly fine because I read my Bible and I prayed all the time. Not just once in a while, but, day and night. But I was easy prey to the evil one because you lose, your conscience gets deformed by the world. And you start making excuses for things you know you shouldn't do that you are doing. And you're lonely. And you're at great risk. So I encourage you, please, go back to church. No matter what you think about this person or that person in the church, go back to church. Worship with your whole heart. Serve with your whole heart. And allow the Lord to heal you and to heal others through you. Okay. Anyway, Father, John Ricardo, one of my favorite guys around these days, he wrote this little book, Unshakable Hope in the Midst of the Storm. So I'll be sharing a little bit of this book with you as we look at what's going on in Pope Benedict XVI's encyclical. But I want to read a little bit to you out of this book today. It said, he tells a story about Jesus sleeping in the boat and the apostles, they're in the boat and it's being tossed and they think they're going to die. And, basically they wake him up and he sort of says, hey, what's the problem? what are you worried for? What are you worried about? I'm in the boat, yet they're saying, what do you mean, what are we worried about? We're going to die here, you know. So anyway, he goes on with his, you know, as you read these words, you might well be in the middle of a storm. Perhaps you're feeling as if you're all alone, or maybe you're frightened about the world around you or your future. Maybe you're getting older or dreading a doctor's report. It could be you're fearful for your children who have wandered away from the church. Some of us are concerned about the state of the church and afraid for the future of our country. Increasing numbers of us are feeling depressed and afraid that nothing will ever get better. Whatever the storm might be, Jesus asks you and me the same question. What's the problem? And I sense he will also say to us, why are you afraid? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know what I can do? Don't you know that the church is right here in my hands? Don't you know that your marriage is right here in my hands? Don't you know that your life is not in the hands of doctors? It's not in the hands of the treatment. It's not in the hands of a diagnosis. It's in my hands. No one can take you out of my hands because I'm Lord and there is no other. And I'm not just Lord. I love you. I see you right now. With all your anxiety, your fear, and your worry, I see you and it's okay. Not because I'm just going to magically make all the problems go away. Life can be very much like being in a boat in a very violent storm. But I'm in the boat with you. And I promise you that I would give you a peace that the world, I promised you that I would give you a peace that the world cannot give. The world only knows peace when it's in an absence of conflict. My peace comes in the middle of conflict. My peace comes in the middle of the storm. My peace comes when you're sitting there in the waiting room. My peace comes when you're in the bedside of someone you love who's leaving this world. My peace comes in the middle of results you don't like. That's what I'm offering you right now. And that is what he offers us. He is in the midst of the storm. Grab his hand. Hold tight. Tell him how you're feeling. Pour your heart out to him, but with confidence. Take a lesson from the Psalms. David, time and time and time, would pour out his heart to the Lord about all of these challenges and heartbreaks in his life. But 9 times out of 10, at the end of the psalm, he would express his hope and his confidence that the Lord would come, that the Lord would save him. That's how we pray. Pour out our hearts. Let him know how we're suffering, what we need. He already knows, but it's a communication of love between. And in the end, say, thank you, Lord. I know you're with me. I've been told and I want to believe it. Help my unbelief. I'm clinging to you. Get me through this. Help me every step of the way. Okay. There in the boat with his disciples in the middle of a storm, Jesus addresses his creature, the sea, and says, peace, be still. And this creature who knows its master's voice is instantly calm. With just a word, Jesus brings peace. With just a word. Has that ever happened to you? You're upset about something, and all of a sudden a little word, a little thought, a little feeling comes up from your very heart and gives you hope. We can imagine the apostles looking at each other, dumbfoundedly asking each other, who in this world can speak to storms, and they listen. It is with the disciples in the boat, so it can be, as it is with the disciples in the boat, so it can be with you and me. In the midst of all the crazy, terrifying, and uncertain things that are going on, you and I can, even now, live our lives with unshakable confidence in him. I am not at all confident in the leaders of the world, the country, or even in my state. And no offense to our dear bishops, but I'm not overwhelmingly confident in all of them either. That's okay. None of these people ultimately are in charge. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is Lord. And he's not afraid. So you and I don't have to be afraid either, no matter what. This isn't to imply that there isn't more than a bit, that it isn't more than a bit choppy out there. It is, both in the world and in the church. Once again, though, the Lord is with us. He promised that he would be with us always, even until the end of the ages. And that's from Matthew 28. So, my dear friends, I hope that I have encouraged you with the Word of God, not my words, but the Word of God. And I am so grateful that you hung in with me and listened to me. And so next week, I'm hoping to be back, God willing, and I'm hoping to speak to you again about hope, our assurance and our promises of hope, and the wisdom of Pope Benedict XVI. If you haven't read his stuff, boy, are you missing out. Beautiful, magnificent stuff, and he was considered the most biblical pope we've had in a very long time, although all of them have based their teachings on Scripture. He really delved into it deeply and profoundly. And so I really encourage you to read things of his if you can. And so I just want to encourage you to be all you can be every day with the help of God and the grace of God. Please pray for me. I'm praying for you. And let's let the joy of the Lord be our strength. God bless you. Till next week. I'll be back. Take care. Of you.